Everybody out there can relate to this situation. He kind of tolerates this show being on his network.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy. He's a network president kind of guy. Yeah. He is a network
button-down mind, you know.
Sure.
Type of guy who still wants to know how come we don't play the commercials at 20, 35, and 50.
Yeah.
And it's always that weird, awkward moment when he comes into the office, and more so today, and here's why. Not only on our walls do we have the various pictures we actually have a medical chart on our wall, a gynecological chart.
Yes, it's a chart of an infection.
It is. We have a big picture of Mike Ditka. We have another big picture of George Patton. We have an autographed picture of Ronald Reagan. We have a big stand-up of Jean-Luc Picard. We have another big stand-up of Captain Kirk.
Little various taped on the wall heads of, you know, different people that we love or hate.
All kinds of tabloid stories about Larry King on one wall.
Sure. Yeah.
We have this big, huge, something like you'd find in a 10-year-old's room, my big Star Trek picture, the big picture of the Enterprise that has the Christmas lights in it that make it light up.
That's the centerpiece of the office. That's what gives the office its charm.
It brings everything together.
So it's always awkward when he comes in because he, you know, he's wearing, here's how I identify Gordon Peele. He's one of these guys, he's got GP on his cuffs.
Yeah, the monogram.
Right.
He has monogrammed, his initials monogrammed on his shirt. That's the type of guy he is. So he comes in, and it kills him that he and I live close to each other.
Oh he hates that.
And you know what? He says to me, he says, Don, last Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock, were you driving out near Jones Road? And I said, I think I was. He said, yeah, I thought I saw you. You gave me the high beams. And as it turns out, he's lucky I didn't give him more. He's the idiot that cut across a couple of lanes of traffic to try to make it into this garden shop, one of those...
A nursery?
Yeah, a nursery.
He's a nursery kind of guy.
Yeah, he's very much a nursery type guy.
I could see him with, perhaps with the slightly torn button-down shirt that he wears, you know, with his khakis, you know, and his Doc Siders.
Yeah, and those shoes, driving his BMW, whatever it is that he's driving. And he cut across a couple of lanes of traffic, and... I said to him today, I said, first off, if I had known it was you, you would have gotten more than just the high beams. And second, since it happened, I had such a delayed reaction. It's like we looked up and all of a sudden, oh, watch it, that guy's going to cut us off. I didn't have time to get that patented reflex action. When you bring, you're turning the wheel of the car with one hand, and with the other hand, you expertly bring up that finger.
You use the high beams. That's very restrained of you. I mean, sometimes you have the options. You have high beams, horn. Or finger.
Right.
I don't know why I went the high beam. I should have gone... to horn, and maybe even should have gone past horn to finger if I had known that, in fact, it was the president of our network.
The horn-finger combination is very effective.
The only thing that really surpasses the horn-finger combination will be the pull up to the side or follow the individual for actual verbal contact.
Well,
when you go into that area, you're taking your life into your hands.
Mike, I've grown past that.
Mm, so have I.
I've had that experience where you follow somebody, and I've also been the followee. I've been the followee a couple of times. So now I gave him the most passive response, and it was Gordon Peele. It was Gordo. So he came into the office, and he's wearing his fancy suit. He has his initials on him, and he walks in the office, and
he always looks Natalie attire. He's always like perfect corporate attire.
He sees the chart on the wall, the gynecological chart, and I'm sitting behind the desk. The big bank president's desk that we got when we had the big fight about the desk.
With the big leather back chair.
And I push it back and I come around the corner and I go, Gordo, how are you? And he stops and I can see him processing the information. He's looking around the room.
Right.
He's looking.
Is that the first time he's been in our office?
No, but it's really messy today.
Right.
I mean, there are times our office really looks lived in, and now is one of the times.
Hey, did I throw away that Tupperware?
No, you still have that dirty. And he picked that up. That thing that has like 2-week-old beans in it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't throw that away last night.
No, you didn't. No.
I mean, not that I knew he was coming in, but I should have thrown that.
So he looks at like the flesh-colored couches, and he sees this Tupperware thing with the turquoise top on it that has your old food in it.
Right.
And he looks in the wall, and then I stand up, and today I am dressed like a 10-year-old kid, like I am going out to play a game of basketball.
Right.
I have on a T-shirt, and I have on these leggings, and I go, Gordo, how are you? And I can tell he is just processing this, going, wait a minute. I know what he's thinking.
I'm Gordon Peele, the president of Western Maine.
down here. I am the president. I'm the president of the network. Damn it, I'm the president. Why am I looking at a chart that says vaginal infections?
Why am I in this room? Get me out.
And then we had the awkward moment about the accident that wasn't, where, you know, where he figured out it was me.
Right.
And then I figured out that it bothers him that we live in the same neighborhood, that we live in the same town. So I made a point of saying, hey, listen, maybe I'll see you down at Blockbuster sometime, huh? Buddy, now that I know what type of car you drive.
Has he ever been in the Blockbuster?
Oh, I don't think Gordon Peele owns a video machine.
No.
I don't believe so.
No, he's got a hi-fi.
His Victrola. For goodness sake. He comes to work every day. He's Amish. He comes to work in a cart with oxen bringing him to work every
really?
Day. Yes. Yes. So that was the... That was a fantastic meeting I had with Gordon Peele today.
Good. I usually catch him out in the lobby of the office when he's walking out, and it's always the same thing. It could be 3 degrees outside, and he'd go, so, how's the game this morning?
Yeah, he's got that phony smile down. Yeah.
And he looks at me like, you know, so, you know, he should actually finish the sentence by going, how is the game this morning, 4.5-hour worker? A man that really doesn't work for a living, sloppy, sweaty guy.
But keep in mind, you know, Gordon Peele doesn't work for a living either. He's the president of Westwood One Entertainment.
We're all in the same business.
Yeah, except he's got the cushy job.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, his job, really, that's his job.
Sure.
He comes here once a week.
Mm-hmm.
He has to sit on the flesh-colored couch. He has to say, all right,
right,
we're very close to clearing this market. We're close to clearing this market. Can you call this guy? What happened here?
Uh-huh.
And like I say, the whole time, you know he's thinking,
why did Infinity buy this company? Why do I have to have this show in my network? Why do I have to explain to people why they had 3 hours of sex on the air yesterday?
And how the hell are these two slobs so popular?
Yeah. And that's what really gets him.
Yeah, nothing he can do about that.
No.
People like the show! They do!
Yes, they do. So what do I have from him? What do I have? I have some ads that they're going to run in the trades.
Okay.
About our network lineup. I have... maybe I shouldn't talk about this yet. Something about our trip to Wichita that would involve the web, the World Wide Web.
Okay. Anyway.
And what else do I have? I have Dayton, Ohio soon.
Did you happen to mention to Gordon that we are actually teaching the college class when we're out there?
Oh, yes, he's well aware of that.
That had a gnaw on him.
I'm sure he didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
We were having the meeting, and Chris Ann, who is the representative in charge of our program,
right,
she said, and I know she said it just to impress Gordon, so... Don, what is the university you and Mike will be speaking at? And I said, well, Chris Ann, it's Wichita State University. And at that point, Gordon Peele, who normally is like, you know, counting the ceiling tiles, he looks and goes, what is this? Why are you speaking there? And here I dropped the ball because I said, I don't know, Disney. He said, why are you speaking about Disney? I said, because we hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, very nice. You know the way that you say this? Like, I say this to Bart all the time when he says it. I go,
right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. You're a good boy. Okay, bye-bye.
Right.
You know, basically, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he's a master also of the, ooh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that's fantastic.
So anyway.
Sloppy boy.
We have a bunch of new markets coming soon. And Gordon, always great to see you, Pachango.
I have a fondness for Gordon because the very first time I ever met him and ever had the pleasure of speaking with him was at that convention in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, the one where we got drunk?
The one where I bumped into him like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
and then
dear.
I talked to him for 2.5 hours, you know, in the end just going, I thought my father loved me, Gordon.
What?
I was crying and stuff like that. Oh, man.
Oh,
I was just, it was terrible. And then the next time I saw him, I was like, how are you? Fortunately, he, you know, he wasn't paying attention to what I was saying, but apparently I was, like, trying to be his best buddy.
Well,
like, leaning up against the bar and go, you think I'm good looking?
You know,
3:30 in the morning in the French Quarter.
Yeah. I bet he would have said, yeah, at that point, maybe you did look good looking to him. Who the heck knows? Listen, I took Laura Korn's advice. Today is my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Frida.
Happy birthday, Frida.
She's 41 today, and we're going out tonight. We're getting a car. Although it looks like it could be an evening that is not exactly to my wife's specifications, because I rented a limo, okay? Because there's two or three couples going out, and I know that the Bulls game is on tonight. And I know that, first off, you're not interested in that, so you're okay.
Right.
You were a safe guest to ask.
I'll cover for you.
Right. Mike and Bunny, our neighbors from up the street, they're coming. He's a fanatic like me, okay?
Oh, he's a super basketball fan?
So that's two fanatics right there.
Right.
Then you have Steve Buckhantz, the guy from Channel 5 here, the sports guy. He's coming.
Okay. That's his three. Living, you
Excellent.
Know?
Excellent. That's three. And then I found out right before I left the house today that my old friend Babe Laufenberg is in town.
Oh, cool.
Guy who used to be the last string quarterback with the Redskins and went on to play with the Cowboys. Right. The first football player who was ever really nice to me.
Right.
He's coming, too. So I was hanging up the phone, and I was just happy. I said, Frida?
Well, that's a good night out.
This is going to be a great birthday. And she's like, wow, you really turned around on this. Why all the excitement? I said, are you kidding? Well, you got at least four guys are going to be watching the game. I know that we're going to be able to get the game on Channel 4 in the car. And Babe's coming. And she stopped and she said, four guys. Wait a minute, hold on. She said, no. She said, it's you and it's Mike and it's Steve and it's Buzz. Mm-hmm. I said, no, but boy, Babe Laufenberg is coming. And she said, oh, fantastic. A football player.
For her birthday, you're bringing out somebody that you're excited
so
about.
So thoughtful.
No, but he's a good guy.
He sees he'll be fun, and Frida likes him.
Oh, she sure does. Yeah. Yes. She'll have a couple of drinks, and she'll be sitting next to him, and I wouldn't even have to worry about it. Then I imagine the car will just stop at some bar, and it'll just end up probably being me and my neighbor, Mike, sitting in the car watching the game, and everybody else going and having a good time.
You guys go ahead. We're going to stay in the car and watch the game now.
Meanwhile, Babe Laufenberg is in there doing the hustle with my wife. It'll just be me and my neighbor, Mike, the two soulless monsters sitting in the back seat watching the basketball game.
Watching another one of those Chicago Bulls blowouts.
I did take Laura Korn's advice. Yesterday, I told you I got my wife a dress for her birthday.
Right.
And Laura Korn said that I should go out and get something else, that there should be something today. And she made all of these ridiculous suggestions to me yesterday about stuff that I should get her, like the bubble bath. And
hot
the,
oil.
The oil right. and the candles. Yeah. I went out today. You know what I got that gal of mine?
What did you get her?
The refrigerator.
Hey!
You're romantic.
Yes, I am.
You can never miss with a household appliance.
Yes, I am.
That's great. Is the freezer unit on the bottom or the top?
It is,
On the side.
It's one of those floor jobbers.
Oh, wow.
It's for the garage.
Oh, so it's like to store surplus food.
Yes, and, well, in this case, surplus beverages.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Oh, that's very cool.
So there you go. I took the romantic way out and got myself got my wife.
Don't slip.
Beautiful refrigerator for her birthday.
Don't slip about that thing you got that's going to be like filled to the gunnels with Diet Cherry Coke.
Ixnay on that. And a beautiful armoire.
So often bringing that Diet Cherry Coke in from the garage when it was warm was so inconvenient.
I hate that you have to go to the refrigerator and wait for the cubes to come out.
Right.
Don't have to do that anymore. Happy birthday, sweetie.
Frosty turned up to that extra cold, so it's perfect.
So what are you doing this weekend for your daughter's first birthday?
We are having Rabe and Cannon out to the house. That's what we're doing in honor of her. No. Her birthday's not until Sunday, and we're having the entire family out, and they're coming out to Bushwood, and we're all going
to... Oh, out to your country club,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. So I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm going to have the fancy get-together, a little brunch on Sunday, and then we're going to open our presents, and she's 1 year old,
right?
Mm-hmm. So I hope she's into it. I'm not sure whether she's going to really track with everything that's
better a refrigerator.
You know, there's still time. I think this weekend I'll get her, and I'm going to get her one of those floor units and put all her bottles in there. We're having the whole family come out.
Her bottles and daddy's bottles in there.
That's right. All the bottles are going to be there. But I shouldn't say this, but I will say this because you can make fun of me again. But I was I'm getting ready to go to Joe Theismann's golf tournament today, and I'm getting ready and I'm standing in front of the mirror. My wife was there and my daughter was there, and all of a sudden I thought about the fact that I have this wonderful daughter who's on the floor like playing with the with her toys, just sitting in there on the bathroom floor, and she looks up at me and. I looked down at her, and I swear to God, just like the movie Rudy, I lost it. I just lost it. I said, I am so happy that I have this little bundle here. And I was just sitting there. I said, you know, this is terrific. It's her.
I can't believe it's been 1 year. It's just been a great year.
And then you got in your car and you left to go play golf. That's the end of the story.
That's
all right.
That moment of emotion, and then bam, I was out the door.
Out
Daddy's going. See you later. Abandoned again. There you go. Daddy's going out to play golf. But she's fantastic. She's a little pocket rocket like her mom, and she's going to be 1 year old on Sunday. And Catherine, I love you.
Well, happy birthday to her and to Frieda. A quick break. We will come back. We have tons of stuff to get to on the program. I think we will we'll start with the German Friday. I've got a little dish to dirt about dirt to dish.
Yes.
About the grassroots, about that whole big stupid state fair thing this weekend. And also, if you were listening to the opening part of the show with the wacky tapes,
yep.
You would have heard Chris Rock on that HBO special.
Oh, boy. So we can play that again.
Yeah, we will. Eloquently describing a phenomenon that started on this program.
Yeah, if you've ever wondered about tossed salad and you haven't seen this, we're going to play the tape, and maybe it'll give you a clearer idea of what it is.
We had to beep out a bunch of stuff, but he does a better job of explaining it than we did. And if you have a chance to see the unedited version, there would be no question in your mind as to whether you wanted your salad tossed or not.
He explains it with gusto.
We'll be right back. Glad that you're with us. Got a big one for you. We'll start it in just a moment.
Don Geronimo and Michael
Mara.
WJFK.
It's what happens when cousins marry. The Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm. We're back. Thank you for listening. Well, so here's the news about the grassroots.
Yeah.
You know me. I was like Pinocchio. I thought I was a real boy last year when I finally got to perform on stage with the Grassroots, my favorite band when I was a kid.
It was a lifelong dream for you.
You know, and I've thought a lot about this, too, about the... I don't know who I was talking with earlier this week. Some record guy or some guy... Yeah, that was a Johnny. A guy I know who works at a record company. He said, I mean, how come you got such odd taste in music?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how come you like all this junk like the Grassroots and Bobby Sherman and Partridge Family?
Well, that's one of many. I mean, you like lots of music. Oh,
yeah, but I figured out, what I think it is that I didn't get into music until, and I remember the year, 1969.
Mm-hmm.
First record I ever bought was Crimson and Clover by Tommy James and the Shondells.
Crimson and Clover.
And 1969 was the real height of bubblegum music. That's the music that was out that was very popular. Yeah. And unfortunately for me, that's when I first got into music.
Right.
So that's what happened. But now that station can die. They can just die. Well, he's pretty much it. He doesn't want a shock jock there to ruin the family event.
Oh, man.
So now I'm faced with a choice. Not to mention
what do
they
think? You're going to get up on stage with the Grassroots and like do our triple X-rated Las Vegas-style show? No.
Pull down my pants and do something like that? No, I just wanted to sing.
Okay, Rob Grill, we're going to eat the apple right now.
So, I got a couple of pseudo-friends that work there, and I thought that something could be arranged, but it wasn't, and they came back and they made this terse announcement to Rob. You know, they said they didn't want, you know, somebody of my type there. They didn't need a shock jock there. So they can just kiss my ass, and I mean that, all you losers that work at that station. I will do a super, super dance the day that your station changes format.
Here, here.
And trust me, I never forget, okay?
That's right.
I never forget.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like an elephant like that.
They'll know, and they'll learn.
The day that that station changes format, we have a big party on the air.
You'll be sorry, Pee Wee Herman.
Very. So you got to point your finger when you do it.
And you got to do the eyebrow thing that Francis does. You'll be sorry, Pee Wee Herman.
So I'm not going to be able to. Now, I could go out there. Now, it was put to me, what are they going to do?
Right.
There are a bunch of disc jockeys, and I'll even give them this. It's probably not even the disc jockeys.
No.
It's probably, you know, the management who doesn't like the fact that I've exposed the fact that they don't even make the top 25 in the ratings,
that's
for God's sake.
Right. I'm sure that's contributed to it.
Yeah. So what could I do? I talked to Rob Grill, who's the singer of the Grassroots. And now, how funny is that? To me, that's wacky, too, that I'm picking up the phone and going, hey, how you doing, Rob? And he's like, hey, Don, you want to sing again? And I go, oh, God, you know, I'm acting like I'm a 13-year-old girl.
School girl.
I can't believe that I'm talking to Rob Grill. He's actually speaking to me. He says, well, listen, here's the deal. The station is paying. He says, the station pays for my band, the backup band. The station pays, and if the station doesn't want you there, there's nothing I can do about it. He said, well, you can still show up, and I don't think that they're going to throw you off the stage, but I would hate to be the reason that my idol, Rob Grill, would not get his $250 or whatever it is that they're paying him for I'm sure he's getting more than that, but I don't want to be the reason he doesn't get paid.
And I think that's good.
Good. So I said, listen, I'll do a jig when that station dies, and he'll come on the show Monday.
And I think because you love this band so much that at some time in the future, when they're coming through town, we have to get the whole bunch of them down there to perform.
Well, he's pretty much it. He does it now with three other guys.
And like a synthesizer or something?
No, they got like an electric piano. They're a step above Casey and the Sunshine Band. They actually do play their own instruments. It's like two guitars and an electric piano and a drummer. So he'll be on the show Monday, and he promises to dish all of the dirt.
Good.
And like he'll talk bad about that radio station and stuff like that.
It's sad that a radio station has to have that attitude. Anybody that was familiar with what you did last year, it was not...
Well,
it's not even really related to this show. We played the tape of you singing, but you get up there and you sing a song, one song to the grassroots.
You did a family show.
Yes. Thank you, Buzz.
There you go.
Nuz Nurnank. Thank you, Nuz.
Time and a place.
And you know, I'm sure that there's somebody out there that's thinking this, so I'll say it. Well, if it was you guys that was doing the show and another disc jockey who wanted to come, you wouldn't let the other disc jockey come. And the difference is, and you know, there but for the grace of God go I, at this particular moment in time, we're the ones on top of the mountain looking down at the rest of them.
Yeah.
And when you're on top of the mountain, when you're the proven number one rating show,
right,
then you don't have to do stuff like that. But when you don't even make the top 25...
And I think we have to reiterate here, it's not like you're going down there to do a half an hour show. You're going down to sing one song with a band you love. You've never made it. Anything other than that, that's exactly what it would be. That's all it would be.
You would think that they would be bright enough to figure out that maybe the fact that I would be there singing might bring down a couple extra people who maybe might see one of their banners or something. But no, that station can die. They can just die this weekend as far as I'm concerned. Somebody pulled the plug on that loser radio station, that station that I could program in my sleep, for God's sakes.
They think we're both going to be down there like, okay, listen, Don's going to sing the song, and after we got a big wet T-shirt contest coming up here.
Yeah, come on, what are they
enjoy the state fair. I know you're judging the pies right now.
Well, it's the radio business, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I buy into it, and sometimes I don't. That's just too bad. That's what's so great about being me.
Radio. What would life be without it?
So good luck to them. And if you're going out to the fair, hope you enjoy the grassroots. And you will hear Rob Grohl, the lead singer, on this show Monday.
Good.
Which will be almost as good anyway, because we can ask him a bunch of stuff about the group. And if there's anybody else like myself, anybody 37 going on 38, still acting like a 10-year-old boy when the grassroots come to town.
And the ultimate question, if you could spend the rest of your weekends during the summer touring with the grassroots.
Oh, and I would. I'd pay my own way. I'd drive my own car.
Steubenville, Ohio, this weekend. We're going to be performing. Don?
Hello, Steubenville! How are you doing?
All right.
Who wants to rock and roll all night and partay every day?
Hit it.
Let me hear ya! Hey, you know, I think the grassroots enjoyed it, because generally when they go to these fairs, they pulled, like last year at this fair that they were at, they had maybe like 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like they're playing at the sold-out stadium, so they appreciate any type of support that they can get, and I'm just a big fan of the band.
Good.
So we'll have them on Monday. Now, on today's program... Oh my gosh! We have look what time it is.
We've got an enormous, supersized celebrity guest.
We have King Kong Bundy. He is dreamy. He will be here in about 20 minutes. He's a huge wrestler. We also have Chuck Stossel from the AMC movie chain. There are a bunch of great movies opening this weekend, including, what's that one I wanted to see? The Sean Connery movie.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah. The Rock looks fantastic.
Yeah. Now listen,
boys. Oh, is this a star-studded event or what?
It is. It is, and we have Remy Martsky from USA Today. We have to make plenty of love connections. You know, we still have the two buses full of our listeners, our loving listeners, to go to King's Dominion a week from Monday.
We have to get cracking on that.
And we've got a German Friday tribute to Hogan's Heroes that we should get to. Oh, you know, I forgot to play the Chris Rock tapes. Let's do that right now. Let's do that now for anybody who has... you know what? Commercials first.
Yeah, for anybody that ever had a question about tossed salads...
We'll get to that next.
Yeah.
I promise. That's first out of the shoot right after that. I was listening to this.
It's the same era. It's the same time frame.
Yeah. Wearing my tie-dye bell bottoms. My happy have a happy day shirt. The yellow smiley face.
And you had a leisure suit, right?
Oh, yes, I did, Mike. Yeah. You bet your ass I did. I got it at the county seat. Remember that? It was a Levi's store. They did. County seat.
Yeah.
I had
like a Brady Bunch orange colored leisure suit, like a burnt orange, a rust colored leisure suit that I wore to my many young DJ appearances.
Did you have any of the shirts with the balloon sleeves?
Oh, puffy sleeves, yeah.
I had one of those shirts with the.
And how could you like the type of music that I like and not dress like that, for God's sakes? I had it all. I had the I had the vest with the fringe on it. I had the puka shells.
There you go.
For a while, I wore a choker around my neck.
Oh, wow.
Swear to God.
Dree-e-e-e-me.
I went the whole way with it. Listen, before we get to the Chris Rock tapes, there's always something before we get to something on this show.
Mm-hmm.
There are the toe tap and touch tone spurting out of your radio, making a rookie mess like, you know.
Cello.
We'll take call number one. Let me turn on the telephones.
All right.
I'm going to make a love connection right now for our trip to Paramount's King's Dominion.
Yeah, the best part of that trip is you get to meet Rob Bay and Scott the Dwarf.
Yep, we got a bus with the marrieds and a bus with singles, and hello, you are on the air. Cello.
Hello.
Ah.
I'm taking the pulse now. Is there a pulse?
Yes.
It's an actual dead guy. It's Ron Cadaver calling the show. Hello.
Hello.
Let me ask, do you know why you're calling?
Yes.
Well, then tell us.
To go on the bus trip.
And who is this?
Dave.
Are we ever going to find a girl for him? Dave, where are you from?
Fairfax.
Dave, have you been sleeping?
Yeah.
You just woke up?
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 minutes until 4 p.m.
I'm ready to get off work now.
You're working?
Yeah.
What do you do, Dave?
So you were sleeping at work?
Yes.
What do you do, Dave?
I'm an accountant.
Just at your desk. Your head in your hands, just sound asleep.
This man is the president of the Ray Combs fan club. That's who this guy is. All right, Dave?
Yes?
How old are you? Dave, can you pick up the energy just a touch?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
It's Dave the accountant.
Mr. Machismo, how old are you?
28.
28, and you are an accountant? Who's the celebrity, Dave, that you think you most resemble?
You're Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, we're familiar with that.
Big tall guy over there.
Cameron?
Yeah.
You mean the guy who was the commander of the Enterprise in Star Trek Generations when Kirk took over the Enterprise at the very beginning? Is that the guy with the runny nose, the guy who had the cold?
Rooney, this is Norm Peterson.
Half Sloan out front.
That's right. He's the guy. And then he wrecks the car at the very end. Remember, he starts kicking the car.
Right.
And the car goes right through the plate glass window.
You're that guy, huh?
Right.
Okay, my friend.
You know, I can really match the voice with the face now.
Hold on. You know what? Oh, I'm getting it mixed up, though. Turn that disco music off for a second.
Okay. Cameron in that movie is wears the Detroit Red Wings jersey.
I know, but the car going through the window, was that Ferris Bueller, or was that Risky Business?
No, that's Ferris Bueller. Bueller. That's right, because they're...
Risky Business was the end of the dock where the car fell off the dock.
All right, all I remember is that something happened to the... They were both Porsches or some type of German automobile like
one
that.
One was a Ferrari and one was a Porsche.
This one is a red one that backs through the window,
right? Yeah, they're trying to reverse it, and it's not working.
Right, they're trying to get the odometer to go backwards.
And he finally says, I don't care, and he starts kicking the bumper, and the jack turns over, and it goes right down the cliff.
Got ye. All right, Dave, stay on the line, and we'll find ye a woman, okay?
Thank you.
Hold on, my friend. Well, ladies, here he is. Mr. Wonderful, how'd you like to be handcuffed to him for a whole day? You'll be wearing cozy cuffs provided by Night Dreams, a store for playful adults, Wintergreen Plaza, Rockville, Maryland, and Pike 7 Plaza, Tyson's Corner, Virginia. It's a day of fun at Paramount's King's Dominion. If you're a woman, call now. We'll take number 100 on our DJ phone, and the phone number is 1-800-636-1067. You guys, let me know when you get call 100. And in the meantime, Chris Rock, continuing on a thread that we started on this show after HBO ran their Guys in Prison special.
It was something that we all saw, and it was mighty, mighty shocking.
So we had the tape, the Toss My Salad tape of the inmate in jail. And do you have that, Charlie? Because that might be a nice way to set this up, because even playing the tape where the inmate is describing tossing my salad,
it's not as good as this.
Right. We had to delete out so much of it, and so much of it goes unsaid.
Right.
That there are some people who still think, and mistakenly so, that they might like to have their salad tossed.
No, it's nothing of the kind. And you know, as I was looking at Charles trying to find our tape, I'm realizing that we're developing another problem again.
Shh. Quiet on that. He's already mentioned that to me.
Yeah, it's...
Shh.
I just want you to look over your left shoulder.
I see. The tapes are going all the way up to the ceiling again. We've got to start that thing going through the tapes again. Maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe next week. Yeah, he was able to find the tape.
Yeah, after he jumped up to the drop ceiling.
All right, here's the original Toss My Salad tape.
First of all, right, if he's a newcomer, right, I want him to my ass in jail. What they call toss the salad. That's the slang word, toss the salad. It means my ass, right? With jelly or without jelly. Some people use syrup. I prefer a guy to use jelly, right? I will reach my right?
You know, I've heard it so many times, and maybe it's because I know what's said. Mm-hmm. It seems impossible to me that someone could hear this tape and not understand it, but I know that it's because I've seen the raw tape.
Yeah, you bleep out those keywords and people aren't going to get it.
I will automatically get right? I will, you know, automatically. If he's my for about 10 minutes or longer, right? It's a sensation feeling and it makes you feel real good. Most all gays do that. You know what I'm saying? Like guys, it's just like a right? But the only difference is it's not a right? It's clean. The person's decent. Uh-oh. And the person know that that's a but in mind, he's looking at it as a because he's in prison. So, toss my salad and let him, you know, we straight. That's it.
So, 2 months we've been playing it. 2 months we've been saying, toss my salad. We have the tapes of all the guys from Scotland saying, toss my salad.
Sure.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then here goes Chris Rock, taking our bit. Having the freedom that we don't have.
Yeah.
He's on cable TV.
Different forum.
He can say exactly how it is. And he actually does a rating show. He's doing a super job of it.
And now it's kind of going full circle because we're going to let you know what he said. But, of course, once again, we have to bleep out the words.
But he does a better job of describing it than the other tape.
You should be able to figure it out after you hear this tape.
Here is Chris Rock.
HBO had this special on, the jail special. A couple of months ago. Now, normally when you see a special about jail, it's on regular TV, and there's a lot of shit they don't show. Oh, not the HBO jail special. Oh, they showed it all. They was interviewing a brother in there. They said, now, sir, when a new inmate comes in and he wants some drugs, how do you initiate it? The guy goes, well, the first thing I do is make him toss my salad. The guy's like, toss my salad? Well, what's that? The guy, well, having your salad tossed means having your now with jelly or syrup. I prefer sir. I'm not making this up. And then the guy said, why must you go through all of that, sir? Why not just oral sex? And the guy goes, well, when a man's your he can pretend that's something else. When he knows his ass. I did go. We don't need a death penalty. We got the tall salad man.
Toss my salad. That's it. We're straight.
Everybody tell, ooh, school. Control. Oh, they're out of control. We need prayer in the schools. We don't need prayer in schools. We need to toss salad man in school. That'll straighten the kids out. Hey, Jimmy, you got a D. You know what you got to do? No! I want to toss the salad.
Oh, God.
That's my salad.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That kind of legitimizes what we've done. Now, my question is, can you understand it any better than what Chris Rock has identified?
Hey, you know, it's all humor, but I got to tell you something. If they put those on for the public service announcement, you showed that guy from the HBO prison special, I think that would be a deterrent.
Steal a car, toss a salad.
That's it.
Hello, Dave.
Yes.
Dave, are you ready, my friend?
Yeah.
Let's make some magic. Pick a number between 1 and 13.
6.
All right, 6.
Line 6 it is. Hope it's a woman. Hello.
Hi.
Ah. I sound like a maze there.
Ah. It's Miss Wright.
Hello. What's your name, please?
Lori.
Lori, where are you from?
I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Lori, would you like to go to King's Dominion with Robe and this guy Dave on Monday, June 17th?
Oh, I'd love to.
Ah, congratulations. We've made a love connection. Now, tell me about yourself. Lori, how old are you?
I'm 24.
What do you do?
I work for a radio station.
What radio station do you work for?
One that's not on the ratings, so don't worry about it.
Well, tell me which one it is.
It's a satellite station out of Fredericksburg, Virginia.
All right, sir. I got to go to a day of fun at Paramount's King's Dominion to ride all the rides or do all that other jazz, enjoy the party bus, and your charming and delightful host, Robe Spiewak, although on your bus, You'll be chaperoned by Scott, the argumentative dwarf.
Yeah, he'll be with you the whole way, and believe me, it's going to be one solid argument from start to finish.
So enjoy, Dave and Lori, and thank you both for listening.
Okay, thank you.
We will make more love connections when you hear the toe tap and touch tones. A quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, even fooled you. You almost took your headphones off.
I did. See if they chat with each other. Oh, I was halfway to the bathroom.
Now, even if they know that we're going to put their voices on the radio still, yeah, you would think they'd at least say hello.
Especially Dave.
Just made a date.
Dave's tweaking up the energy level. You see him, he picked it up a little bit when he found out Cindy Crawford looked alive.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
If you were there. You can't hear anything. It's just silence over here.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you do at the radio station where you work?
Traffic manager.
Traffic.
I love it when somebody from another radio station calls our show. That's super.
Is that a tough job?
Yeah, it kind
of
is.
No, it's not.
So, why would that be?
Well, it's the salespeople.
Oh.
Yeah, they act like they run the station, and they don't realize they don't.
Well, she's got a point there.
That is true.
You should be running the station.
Oh, I have long brown hair, and I got my mole removed, okay? Is this Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're the accountant, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe I got...
Oh, okay.
Well, honey, you are in big ass. Well, she said, I hope we're not on the radio because I'm skipping work. And if we're on the radio, I'm in big ass.
Well, I guess she finds out the answer to that when she comes into work tomorrow.
Welcome to big ass. We'll be right back. How are you?
No matter how you slice them, they're bloody good. Don and Mike.
Coast to coast and nationwide via Westwood Vod Entertainment in Lynchburg and Roanoke, Virginia. 105.9 Des Moines, WLNI in Jackson, Alabama on WHOD. And thank you for listening in Ocean City, Maryland. Be a great weekend to go to the beach.
Oh, man, it looks beautiful.
97.1 The Fox. My wife will be going to the beach next week. Next week, incidentally, is like going to be the courtship of Eddie's father for me, except without Eddie.
Eddie's not going to be there?
No. Listen to this schedule my wife has figured out for herself. Monday and Tuesday, she and Barty are going to go to her mother's house for a couple of days.
Right.
And then she and Bart and our neighbor Bunny and their kid are going to Philadelphia for a couple of days.
Just to hang out in Philly?
Well, yeah, they've got a reason. My wife is, my wife's big into the part-time jobs now because... Because to be honest with you, we need the money so badly at my home that she's had to go to work. She's going back to school, and she worked at the experiment for a while where she drank, and that they observed her. Mm-hmm. She does some part-time work with Bunny's husband,
right,
Mike. So the two of them are going to go up to Philly to do a job for the day for him.
Right.
You know, this shows how out of it I am. For all I know, he's like a pimp, and they're going to be working. I have no idea. I haven't bothered to ask. You just said to me, listen, I told you that Bart and I are going to go to my mother's for a couple of days to get away because Bart just got out of school. I said, yeah, that's great. She says, then we're going to Philly. Bunny and I are going. We're taking the boys. And I said, yeah, okay. See ya. Bye. And she said, aren't you even curious about what we're doing? I said, yeah, I know you're... You're working or something. I don't know.
You have absolutely no idea what type of work she's going to be doing.
It is, I don't know.
No.
I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's whatever business my neighbor Mike is involved with.
So Mike, you could call Mike and ask him, and he would conceivably might say something like, it's a type of entertainment service that we're offering here, and, really, we're bringing some very high-powered clients in, and they'd like to be entertained by some lovely ladies.
Frida and Bunny in there with a bunch of Japanese businessmen. Oh, we love the American women. What is your name? My name is Frida, and this is my friend Bunny. Hello, Frida. Hello, Bunny.
If she asks you for...
You rubbed me wrong time.
If she asks you for evening wear,
This man, that place will stink to holy heaven by the time that they get home. A whole week of just me. You know what? And from now on, I think I'm not even going to bother to call Domino's. I'll just announce right now. Next week, Domino's. I know you guys listen.
Right.
Every night.
There you go.
Every night. Just deliver it every night.
Just have it waiting at the door.
Yeah. You guys know what time I get home. About quarter till eight.
Right.
So just be there.
And that's when you want to eat. When you cross the threshold, you want the pizza in your hand.
Dinner on the table at 8.
Yeah, you know my rule. Dinner on the table at 8.
It's very important.
Rules is important to me. Now, where is King Kong Bundy?
Is he here?
He was supposed to be here. Is he lost in traffic? Robe Spiewak, I call as my first witness, Robe Spiewak. Hello. Hello, Robe.
Mr. Bundy, I guess you call him King.
Yeah.
No one's real sure where he is right now.
Wow.
He was supposed to be at the site of the fight at about 3:30. And as far as I know, he has not checked in yet.
Here's the problem. Today is like the only day. Friday is the only day that the show has to really run on some type of a schedule.
We have so much to do.
Yeah. And if we wait, what's going to happen is if Mr. Bundy does not make it here by let's say, 5 o'clock.
Right.
We're going to have to bump him.
We're going to have to bump a guest.
Cool.
Hey, how about that? We might bump a guest.
Yeah. Hey, all right. And the good news is that you and I won't have to tell him. This man will.
That one might be delegated to Cannon.
Well, listen, I hope he gets here. He is 485 pounds.
I think 6'11". Cannon says no more than 6'7". Cannon has seen him wrestle before. So.
And super dreamy.
Cannon's a connoisseur of the wrestling, isn't he?
He loves the wrestling.
Sure.
So we will wait for King Kong Bundy to arrive. Also, Lulbuds in Jeopardy. And we'll talk to the mother chucker, Chuck Stossel, about movies in this hour. Now we finally have time to get to the Hogan's Heroes story.
Yes.
From last Friday, May 31st, last week's Wall Street Journal.
They're kooky over that show in Germany.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of German Thursday.
Jawohl.
Even though it's Friday. Just a day late.
No,
for you.
Love this song.
Tio.
Der Tio, der Tio.
Ah, Tio.
Ist ein Naturtalent.
Ah, Tio.
Weil alle Griffe so wie kein anderer kennt.
Aha.
Die Damen, die hat
Strudel.
Schon oft damit beglückt.
That's right.
Und wenn beginnt,
Tio.
Sind alle ganz entzückt. Das mag der Theo mit einem Finger. La 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 dina, la da da dina. Er greift mal hin. Der Theo ist schon ein Genie auf dem Klavier.
All right, here's the story from the Wall Street Journal. We've saved it for a week because it's so hilarious. It's almost like the toss my salad thing becoming legitimate with Chris Rock doing it on the HBO show. There he is on the front page. And look it. He is up higher on the front page than Bob Dole.
Isn't that great? Colonel Klink in the middle of the Wall Street Journal.
The story says, the headline is, in Germany now, Colonel Klink cleans up. Colonel Klink has become a superstar in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find the story. It's on page five. Got it right. Got it right here.
All right.
When the first German broadcast of Hogan's Heroes failed to click with viewers, Leo Kirch... Oh, and this is the story. The story is that there's a cable channel in Germany that has started running Hogan's Heroes.
Right.
And what they did was they switched the translation a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and they fixed the laugh track, and they made some of the jokes more relatable to Germans.
Right.
And suddenly, the show is a huge hit.
Yeah, a little tweaking, and they've 90-ized it.
Sure. Let me see. The show originally ran 5 years ago. German networks had another consideration for Hogan's Heroes. The show had a reputation in the country for perpetuating a stereotyped view of Germans,
mm-hmm.
thanks in part to Sergeant Schultz and his idiotic remarks about food. What would I do if I won the lottery? Says Schultz. Every day I would have Wiener Schnitzel for breakfast.
And meanwhile, the Germans are sitting there going, that's big fun.
Hogan's Heroes ran in the United States from 65 to 71, and they've been in syndication ever since. It's surprising how many Americans believe that Germans wear monocles, do nothing but go to Oktoberfest and eat sauerkraut. Says Linus Menden, a Hamburg viewer who has studied in the United States.
Yeah, we love it in Hamburg.
Germany's number one cable channel acquired the rights to Hogan's Heroes years ago, but the series laid around in the cellar. For Germans, war must be serious. A group of young film buffs dug it out.
German people, you're called Nazis.
Heroes in Germany. Leo Kirch, Germany's leading movie mogul, personally got involved. He asked me why it wasn't funny, says the guy who runs the cable network.
Right.
They hired this guy, Leo Kirch, to redo the show's lip-syncing. It was because the show made the Germans look like fools that the Germans didn't like it.
How could they make them look smart on Hogan's Heroes? What could they do to it?
The way they fixed it was to make the Germans look even more foolish.
Yeah.
To make sure that the Germans understood that they were caricatures.
Ah.
They spent a year rewriting large portions of dialogue to make the Germans appear stupider and sillier.
And since they're inserting the German language in there, it doesn't matter that it doesn't match up to the English, but so they can put anything they want in there.
Listen to this switch that they pulled. In the U.S. version of one popular episode, Hogan talks about dropping bombs over London. In the German version, Hogan talks about dropping condoms over London and announces the Allies' plan to defeat the British by discouraging them from multiplying.
Okay. I understand what they're doing. Well, right. Maybe they're really not making them look more foolish. Maybe they're actually, trying to make them seem less foolish.
Wait a minute now. About Colonel Kling. In the new version, the new lip-synced version of Hogan's Heroes, Colonel Kling often mentions his cleaning lady and his mistress, Kalinka, who he says performs housework in the nude.
Kalinka! Oh, they've definitely modernized it.
No one is more pleased with the success of Hogan's Heroes in Germany than Werner Klemperer, a German Jew who fled his native country before the war.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Klemperer says he helped make sure the program showed the German army in a bad light. I told the writers if they ever made Colonel Klink to be a hero, I would quit. I wanted to make sure Klink got it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When the show started airing in the 60s, the producers heard some of the same complaints that one now hears in Germany.
Right.
People said we shouldn't be making fun of that whole time in our lives. But the show should not be taken too seriously. Robert Clary, who played Le Beau,
bonjour,
was really in the concentration camps in Poland.
Yeah, I've read that. Yeah, many, many times.
I didn't know that. And then it goes on to say how the Germans are really digging it, and it now is the number one rated show at its time slot.
Well, you give Klink a housekeeper named Kalinka, and you make her do housework in the nude. How could it be anything but a big hit?
All right, we're going to try it first. Here on German Thursday, which is Friday,
right.
We're going to try to call Linus Menden, the guy who was quoted in the Wall Street Journal article as a guy who likes the way that they're doing Hogan's Heroes now.
I like the way they make them look more foolish. Get you dropping up the condom on all the people so that they don't reproduce.
Who came up with that genius one?
Wow.
Sorry.
Right? What I like about this story is that they can do anything they want.
It's fascinating.
They can pop in any dialogue and completely rewrite the show.
Yeah, but it sounds like this time they did it right.
Mm-hmm.
Give Kalinka naked maid. There's Kalinka.
Kalinka. There's that German ring.
It's about 9:30 in Germany.
Wo ist Kalinka, the nude maid?
Hallo? Das mag
der Theo mit einem Finger.
Ja, da, da, de, do.
You ever find out what that means?
I think we know what it means.
Jawohl.
All right, he's not there. I got another number.
Wo ist der Laura Korn?
You got corn on the brain, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Let me try the number of the cable TV channel that is running this.
I'd love to talk to that mogul. That German movie mogul.
And here's what I thought I would do.
And he sounds just like Major Hochstetter.
Klink, let's fill roll. I wanted to make it more special, so I inserted new dialogue for the German people, so they would enjoy it.
I saw one, I don't know what day it was.
Hello,
this
David.
Hey, V. Gates.
Hello.
Hello. This is Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're calling from America, doing our radio show right now.
Sprechen Sie English?
No.
Is this Cable 1?
Kabel ein?
Hello?
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 Hello? Oh, you speak English?
Yes.
Hi, listen, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing a national radio show from America.
The Gates.
We'd like to know, is this the cable channel that's running Hogan's Heroes?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, it is.
And it's very popular, huh?
Hey, excuse me, you speak Turkish?
Do I speak Turkish? Yes.
German?
Yes, we speak fluent German.
Dann können Sie bitte sagen, was Sie wollen?
Yeah.
The gates.
Wo ist der Hogan's Heroes? Yeah?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, sehr schön, wunderbar. You sprechen Deutsch, German. Ich spreche auch mit dir German, Deutsch.
Verstehen
du mich?
Wo ist die Toilette?
Ich bin Türke, deswegen ich muss auch Deutsch sprechen.
Ich bin ein Berliner. Ich bin ein Berlin.
Du bist ein Berlin.
Das ist prima Essen.
Hey, listen.
Aha. Was du essen, du Schwein. Fleisch essen, du Schwein.
Is he talking about swine?
No, he's talking about eating right now, and I have no idea what he's saying. That means when I say das ist prima Essen, that's good food. That's
right.
What I thought.
Hey, now listen, do you speak any English at all?
Police telephone hören euch, dann eines Tages wir sehen uns.
What time of the day do you run Hogan's Heroes? What time of the day?
Sprechen bitte Deutsch.
What?
Yeah, sprechen bitte Deutsch. The time, 22 past 26.
Okay, but what time do you run Hogan's Heroes on the TV?
Where's your TV?
When is... Sprechen Sie English?
I think don't know English.
Oh, you don't know English.
Well, then how did you know?
You knew just a little bit like we know, you know, if a guy got on and said, hello.
All right, hold on, let me try this. That time, clink, that time is Hogan's Heroes on. What is the time slot?
Huh. You verstehen was Polizei ist?
What is the time slot? Is it 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30?
I see nothing.
Clink, I have to be in Brussels in the morning.
Yes, I hear you, General Borcada. No problem at all. What time is Hogan's Heroes on? Hey, we should sing for him.
Clink, there is your naked maid.
Was that it? Frustrated, yeah.
Well, voice to telephone.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, what a bummer. Well, nobody speaks English over there. You know, you'd think they'd have the decency in Germany to speak English.
Let's try Holiday Inn.
That's always a safe bet.
You can always get somebody who speaks English at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, and we'll use the singing as a last resort. Yeah.
That's not the Theo Nine finger.
Yeah.
Clink! Heads will roll.
Yes, Major Hochstetter. Don't transfer me at the Russian front.
Clink with his naked maid.
Hi. This is Werner Klemperer. I'd like to speak with Eileen, please.
Come on, Holiday Inn.
Hi, this is Werner Klemperer. I'd like a room at the Holiday Inn, please.
Apparat 6L74.
An answering machine?
I must have called the wrong number.
A chance to hear a little bit more of that wacky German.
I could say something dirty. Can I get in trouble if I say something?
Yeah, you can get in trouble saying. All right, didn't we find that out a long time ago?
You don't know.
Essen! Essen mine!
Essen ist Doc, mach der Theo mit einem Finger. I know what you're going to say.
Ja, da, da, di, do. Da, da, di, do. Okay, hold on. I'll try, how about the Hilton Hotel in Munich?
Ah, I'm sure they're up. Yeah, voice to Hilton. Voice to Hilton. Hi, this is Werner Klemperer. The Holiday Inn was booked. I was wondering if I could get a room at the Hilton.
You know, we had a guy about 3 years ago who went to Germany and actually recorded off German television a copy of Hogan's Heroes. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Before they changed dialogue?
Right.
If there would be any way that we could get another copy of the new updated Hogan's Heroes in German.
And if people are wondering, when it comes to Germany, that's all we know is Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's our perspective on Germany.
My perspective on Japan would be the movie Gung Ho, the Michael Keaton movie where he started the Japanese auto plant in suburban Pittsburgh.
That's it.
My knowledge of the country of... What?
Hello?
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 Yes.
My knowledge of France is that movie with Kevin Kline.
where he plays the guy who talks to Meg, what's her name?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Paris, something,
yes.
Paris. Right.
Forget Paris.
Forget Paris.
Hello?
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 Speak and see English?
Yes.
Ah, good. Hello, darling. This is Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, and we're doing a radio show from America.
Yes.
We're calling to find out, this is the Hilton in Munich, Germany, right?
Yes, correct.
Are you German?
No, I'm not.
Oh. Where are you from?
I'm from Greece.
From Greece?
From
Greece.
Yes.
All right.
Well, so now we're starting down a whole different road. Yes. Welcome to Greek Friday. Toga! Do you ever watch the show Hogan's Heroes on Cable One?
What's the name?
The name of the show is Hogan's Heroes.
No.
It's a show about a POW camp during the war.
No.
With Colonel Klink, who has a naked maid.
Uh-huh.
You never heard of it?
I don't think so, no.
You've never, in Greece, in your home country of Greece, you've never seen Hogan's Heroes?
No.
Hey, would you mind, could you ask some people at the front desk, if any, predominantly Germans, since it's on German TV, would you ask the Germans around there if they...
I've grown up in Germany. I never heard about the show.
Oh, she's grown up in Germany and she's never heard about the show. If you're from Greece, have you ever heard of Telly Savalas?
Yes.
Hey, oh. There you go.
Hey, baby. Who doesn't like Telly?
All right. That's totally beautiful.
French Kiss was the movie with Meg Ryan.
Right.
And Forget Paris was the stupid one with Billy Crystal and Deborah Winger.
And when you think of any country in the Middle East, you think of the movie, of course, Ishtar.
Ishtar, yeah.
There you go.
Listen, I'd like to be put through to room 49, please.
49?
Yes.
Just a moment. Better than this one, room number 49.
It must be 149, then.
Oh, 149. Just a moment.
Yeah, but...
No, it's not either.
Maybe it's 194. Maybe it's room...
Where are you?
Are
you sure?
Room 210, please. Just want to talk to somebody who's got a TV in their room.
Are you kidding? Something?
Put me through to room number 5.
We don't have room number 5.
How about room number 2010?
Well,
that means they have 2,000
rooms. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Could you just put me through to a room at random? I want to talk to somebody who has a television set in their room, please.
Well, I can't just connect with any room. I'm not allowed to.
Mr. Hasselhoff's room, please.
He's not here.
Mr. Schultz?
No, not either.
Mr. Schmidt?
No.
Mr. Klink?
No.
Mr.
Hofstetter.
Hofstetter, yeah.
No,
Hofstetter.
No, he's not
there. Oh, no,
here.
You know what we want? Mr. Burkhalter.
General Burkhalter. Is General Burkhalter there?
No.
LeBeau.
No.
Kinch.
Newkirk.
No.
Carter.
Hogan. Carter.
No, I'm sorry.
Ran out of German guy.
I think I was reading your mind.
You can't ask
for the big guy. No.
I'd be Marge Schott if I asked for him.
Anyone there named Schott?
Yeah, how about Marge Schott?
Anyone named Schott?
No, we don't. No.
Listen, can you put me through to a bar? Do you have a bar there in the hotel?
Yes, we do.
Can you put me through there?
Okay, just a moment.
Thank you, Fraulein.
All right.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Fraulein.
She's dressed like all women in Germany, too, the St. Pauli girl.
Swiss Miss. Yeah, she got the ponytails, wearing the lederhosen, blonde hair, blue eyes.
Hello!
Hello!
Piano bar?
Yes, piano bar. Hello, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing a radio show from America. Do you ever watch the television show Hogan's Heroes?
I don't know what you mean.
It's a show about World War II with the Nazis and the Americans.
Yeah.
And it's about a POW camp.
It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the show Hogan's Heroes?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yes.
What is the best thing about the show?
Just one moment, because are you sure you are here in the bar?
Yes, we'd like to know, what do you like about the show, Hogan's Heroes?
Excuse me, but the bar is completely full. I have no time.
Of course. He's uptight about it.
Can you phone me a little bit later?
Das mag der Theo mit einem Finger?
Das mag der Theo mit einem Finger. Ja, da, da, di, da.
There you go.
Success! Well, the next time we call, I think it helps them to understand if we speak loudly.
Yes, and did you see the way they figured it out more when we were yelling at them?
Yeah. What happened to these phones?
My God,
look at those.
Wow.
What happened to the phones? Every single phone is... is on hold now. What happened, guys?
You hit this busy all button.
Is that the button you press to make all the lines busy?
That was pretty.
It's like when a DJ says he wants to take some phone calls, and then everybody calls and they get the busy signal?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I got you. Cool. All right, now take them off.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. So this is a real call? Hello?
Hello?
Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I just have another hotel in Germany that they can call. I got a number for.
Oh, no. We already had great success with the last hotel.
Yeah, Fräulein, we got the piano bar.
Dankeschön, though, and happy German Thursday to you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Bye. All right, bye-bye. We got to do a quick break. We'll be right back. King Kong Bundy, who knows, maybe.
I hope he's here.
You know, I'm officially bumping him. Mm-hmm. I'm bumping him right now because we're going to have to go with Charlie Stossel next.
Yeah. You going to tell him?
Who, King Kong Bundy?
Mm-hmm.
No, as you heard, Cannon Grace will be telling him. We'll be right back. And now a man who's requesting this to be his regular theme song.
Shaggy Bear, I can hardly hear you. I just need to know if you need me to stop at the cleaners.
That's not a man's voice.
Damn, here he
is. Hi, sweetie. Hey. What are you doing? Hello?
You say yes or no? Yes, cleaners or no?
Yes.
Yes, cleaners. Stop at the cleaners?
Yes, and get a bottle.
Get plywood?
No, get a bottle.
Get a bottle.
A bottle of you know what?
Well, a bottle of cologne?
No.
A bottle of something to drink? Oh,
yes.
Sam?
Yes.
No, it's my birthday.
No, come
Sam
on.
Sam is not invited.
No. We have to have Sam in the car.
No, this Sam is gonna... invited.
No. Honey, listen.
Look, if I'm cleaning up out of a limo again.
I am not going to get sick tonight. I promise I will not get sick. Everybody wants Sam to make the party complete. What's the point of getting a bunch of people and going out in a car if you can't have some Sam?
I'm not cleaning up, throw up that
okay.
smells like licorice.
There will be no vomit on this birthday.
Right.
Throw up that smells like licorice.
You know, that's pretty enough to be a Hallmark card. No vomit on this birthday.
Hey, listen. Hey, will you tell Charlie Stossel to hold on a second? As long as my wonderful 41-year-old bride is on the telephone.
Happy birthday, Frida.
Thank you, Mike. I'll be looking forward to my card with your picture on it.
I've got it. Yeah, I'll do that before the day.
Looking forward to my card with your picture on it.
So tonight. I'm really good. The big car going out with some friends. Chicago Bulls game will be on tonight.
Have you texted if there's a TV in the car?
Yeah, there it is. It's gonna. You know what? This might as well be my birthday. Right. You're looking. You've got that gleam in your eye. You're looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm gonna put on a nice pair of clothes. We're gonna go out with Buzz and some.
There will be other nice looking men there. We'll stay in the car and watch TV. That's all right.
Well, that's exactly. And I know what you're talking about. Babe Laufenberg, aren't you?
And I've also been advised to somehow, when I'm getting in or out of the limo, see if I can work it up to squeeze Babe's thigh. That it'll be a treat I won't be disappointed at. Where am I at?
Oh, God. You know, if she finds that bottle, it's going to be a mighty interesting evening.
Yeah, I happen to know that she'll have to be fighting. That came from Bonnie, didn't it?
That I can't blame
me. Yeah, see, our neighbor Bonnie is the bad one. She's the dirty bird. Dirty birdie. She's the one. If anybody would be squeezing Babe Laufenberg's leg, it would be her.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are so busy. Here is King Kong Bundy.
King Kong, where are you?
Donna Mike, I can't imagine the nerve of you guys dissing the great Bundy like that. I'm a couple minutes late and you bump me off the show?
Well, listen, today's the one day we got a schedule we got to stick to.
Who could you possibly bump me off for?
Charlie Stossel.
Charlie Stossel.
Yeah, he's our movie man, and he comes on every week at this time.
Who did Charlie Stossel ever beat, guys? That's what I want to know.
Listen,
you got a number for that lady? The lady talking about the sex? I just came in there, the tail end of that, and it sounds fantastic.
Hey, how tall are you?
How tall am I?
Yeah.
About 5'11". Why?
5'11".
Come on, really, how tall are you? How much do you weigh, King?
6'4". I weigh about 394. I'm not overweight, guys. Just a little bit too short for my weight. If I was about 7'8", I'd be okay. You know?
Now, King, listen. Do you mind if I call you King?
I prefer the great Bundy, but go ahead.
All right,
Is this Don or Mike?
Both of us.
We're both here.
I know, but who am I speaking to?
This is Don.
And this is Mike.
Okay, guys.
Hey, now, King, where are you going to be tonight? I'll get your plug in here. Where are you going to be?
I just walked in the door.
Oh, you don't even know?
Eddie, where are we going to be? Chris, where are we going to be tonight? The Secret Cove, baby, and I'm glad to be here. Don't miss it.
And what secret cove in, and what part of the country is that in?
What part of the country?
Don't you know where you are right now?
Come on, give me a break here, will you?
We're just
trying to
give you a plug.
Where have you been all your life? Everybody, unless you've been in a cave in the Himalayas, you got to know where the secret cove is.
Who are you going to be beating up tonight?
Big Slam Vader.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Yeah.
Heard of Big Slam Vader?
No, we've heard of you, but we haven't heard of Big Slam.
Big Slam Vader clone, and I'm going to tell you, he's going to get a beat tonight like he's never got before, guys.
Now, listen, no offense, okay? I'm going to ask you a real important question.
Go ahead, brother.
Are you a I love it when they call you brother.
Hey, brother.
Are you a fake wrestler, or do you really go out there and really hit?
Oh, come on, I can't believe you asked the great Bundy a question. I'm not even going to dignify that question with an answer. Come over and find out how fake I am.
Boom!
Go restaurant 878 Richmond Highway, Alexandria, Virginia.
He's getting violent now.
I got it, guys.
Hey, listen, King, we do have a schedule. Call us back. We'll give you another plug. Call us back.
Guys, appreciate having me on.
All right, bye, King.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was King Kong Bundy and his segment on our program. We've taken care of that.
There you go.
All right.
We bumped him. We gave him this plug. Now we got to do a break. Well, let me make sure that the other macho man is there. Are you there, Tiger?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. Where's your energy, man?
King Kong Bundy scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah, caught you by surprise,
hey,
didn't
let me tell
Charlie?
Him something. My offices are at 220 North Washington.
It's easy to
come
hide
over here, big boy.
It's easy to hide behind the microphone. Hey, Charlie, can you hold on 1 second?
Of course.
Okay, we got to do commercials. Then we'll come back and we'll talk movie. This is the reason we bumped King Kong Bundy.
That's right, for Charlie Stossel.
So I want to know all about this the brand new movie, The Rock, and the other ones that opened this weekend. We'll be right back.
Radio God.
Box office bonanza time.
That is what works so well, and that Nicolas Cage is the foil for Sean Connery's very serious, very angry prison inmate that goes back into Alcatraz.
You know, there's something about, I was talking about tossing my salad today. I don't want to make this sound the wrong way, but there's something about prison. And there's something about a prison. There's something about a prison movie.
Yeah.
That just brings out the magical love inside.
Now that I really dig, like, you know, one of my favorite all-time movies I picked it on that Blockbuster list was Escape from Alcatraz, the one with Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. We also both like Cool Hand Luke. That's another one that's terrific.
Yeah, great prison movie.
Shawshank.
Shawshank Redemption. Well, except for the except where he has to crawl through the river of crap. Other than that,
you didn't like that. That gave you the oogies.
I did not like that in the Shawshank Redemption.
2 miles of filth.
Other than that, the jail movies are pretty good. And this one about Alcatraz.
Tops.
It's what?
It's Tops.
It's Tops.
At the beginning of the summer, this might have been back, I guess, April, we talked about a few movies that were coming out and stuff to look out for. I think I mentioned Twister. I mentioned Hunchback, Independence Day. And The Rock was one of these movies that I mentioned. This, from the get-go, is nothing but action. And I think it's a thinking man's action film. It has much more action than Mission Impossible does, but just right from the get-go, it's bam, 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 and this very much has Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer all over it. It's a lot like Crimson Tide. The music is especially
bam.
Like Crimson Tide. Bam!
You know, what I wanted to ask you about this movie, and when you get an action-adventure movie, does the movie have, does it have a believability factor?
Because I don't know.
But so often those action-adventure movies, you got to, I mean, it's totally unbelievable, is that what you're saying?
I don't know a lot about VX poison gas, but if this stuff really exists, it's nasty as hell.
Listen, here's a question. How long is this movie?
It's long. It's like 2:15?
You know, that's okay with me.
Yeah, but it goes by. It goes by so quick. And the thing is, you know, do we need to do the plot of the movie?
Well, I don't want to get into that whole thing with somebody thinking that we're telling them everything, but I don't know the plot, so yes, please do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Ed Harris is also in this movie, too. Great actor. Got nominated for Apollo 13 this past year. He is one pissed-off Marine.
He's a psycho in this, right?
You know, he's very, in my opinion, though, he's a very sympathetic psycho.
Well, you're a psycho, Charlie, so you sympathize with all
psychos. Yeah, man, I'm not ready to take on King Kong Bundy. Power slam him.
So what is Ed Harris's role?
He is a Marine who is upset at the United States government because they have not recognized his soldiers under his command that died in special operations. They ignored them. They didn't compensate the families. They didn't give them a military funeral. He just wants recognition for his soldiers. He has no intention of hurting anybody, but he wants the recognition. And his plan just goes a little haywire. This VX gas stuff that he has, it will take out the entire population of San Francisco. What did they describe that it does? It melts your skin. It causes your nervous system to shut down. You start going into spasms so much that you break your back.
Isn't that the product that has Ken Stevens' face on the jar? Ken's smiling face with a skull and crossbones.
Yes, it is.
So this movie is good. So what's the plot? This guy is...
Well, he goes on the Alcatraz to take these people prisoners. Sean Connery was an inmate at Alcatraz, the only man ever to escape. The FBI recruits him along with Nicolas Cage, who's a chemicals expert, because he will know the gas. They recruit Sean Connery to take a team in there to retake the prison. Of course, the whole team gets killed in the first 2 or 3 minutes. They get ambushed. Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage are then by themselves to take on this entire island of ex-military, mercenary, commando types.
Cool.
That's where it's not very believable that they're going to come out without a scratch.
Right.
But it's like Die Hard, the first one. It's a fun movie
Sounds
to
good.
Watch.
And the gas is in those little green marbles,
yes.
Right?
Yes, the gas in the green marbles. A few James Bond references in the movie.
Good.
Having Sean Connery go, they said something like, where were you trained? He looks at, and he cocks his head and goes, British intelligence.
Good. All right, that's cool.
You know, there's another Bond reference that, I don't know, maybe some people will or won't pick up. I won't say what it is.
Come on, go ahead. What do you got to lose?
Okay.
Why do we have you on the show?
If you remember in Goldfinger, when Pussy Galore comes up and introduces herself, and he goes...
That's so shocking.
Hey, now. But of course you are. When Nicolas Cage introduces himself and he gets his name, that he says that same line.
And that is, anybody who's a Bond fan, that is a significant line, too.
Yes, but of course you are.
Yeah, Pussy Galore.
So that's there. And there's a train wreck.
God, I laughed the first time I heard that.
Pussy Galore?
Yeah. I was like 10 years old.
It's great. It's
same reaction.
A teeth-exposing laugh.
There's a train wreck in this movie that is reminiscent of The Fugitive. There's a cable car going through San Francisco. Sean Connery steals a Humvee, goes running down the street. Nicolas Cage is chasing him in a Ferrari. Sean Connery runs into the back of the cable car. People are falling out left and right, and Nicolas Cage comes over at one of the San Francisco hills. He's airborne. He sees all these people littering the road, and he has to go weaving in and out of them. Finally, the cable car crashes, goes down a hill, very much like in The Fugitive with the train wreck, takes out every movie camera that they ever had posted on the street. Great scene. I'm telling you, just from start to finish.
Sounds fantastic.
This movie is just go, go, go. Of course, it's not a terribly believable plot, but you're not going to the movies to analyze this for believability. You're going to have a good time, and with this movie, you certainly will. And I think it's going to be one of the movies that lasts for most of the summer, much again like Crimson Tide did last year.
All right, now what about the Phantom? All I know about the Phantom is I never read his comic books
Neither
when I was a kid. He had the purple suit. He had no real superpowers. He had a gun, and he was in Africa or something.
Is this the? And I have an obscure movie question for you. Is this the actor that played the theatrical guy in the movie Tombstone?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's why Billy Zane.
Yeah,
right?
I think it was I think maybe most Billy Zane is most known for. He was the psycho in Dead Calm. It's a very good movie with Nicole Kidman and Sam Neill that came out. I think back in '88 or '89. Billy Zane was a psycho who went aboard their boat in the middle of the water, tries to kill both of them and take off with the boat. That may be where he's best known from.
All right, I know the guy, and he's the Phantom.
He is the Phantom. The basic storyline is, from what I can gather, from what I have not seen the movie, he has to go after some skull rings, some skull things that are stolen. I hear it's like Indiana Jones. I hear it's an Indiana Jones knockoff, that type of action-adventure. But the thing you mentioned about the Phantom, he doesn't have a gimmick. He is just a guy in a purple suit.
That's why I never liked him when I was a kid.
And I think that is what may end up being an obstacle to this movie. He has Superman. He can fly. He has all these things that Superman can do. Batman has all the gimmicks.
Is he stronger? Is he stronger than the average bear?
No, he's not.
He's just a guy.
He's just a normal guy.
He carries a gun. He carries a handgun.
He's also dead, from what I understand, too. Right. There have been 21 or 22 Phantoms before him. And if you kill the Phantom, you become the Phantom. That's my understanding of how the Phantom tradition works. I could be wrong.
All right. And based on what you've heard, do you like it or don't you like it?
It probably is not my taste in movies. Personal taste.
And one last question.
Yeah.
You got something else about Mission Impossible? Because you know what? I find myself still being hooked on that movie, even though it's been 2 weeks since I've seen it.
That's Tom Cruise, Tom.
Well, he's dreamy. We all know that. But when the song comes on the radio, I don't turn it off.
No, neither do I.
I think about that movie. I think about the plot twist. I get in arguments with people about, did you understand it or didn't you understand
it? I have to see it again. I was still confused until the very end when Tom Cruise puts on the glasses and gets a picture of John Voight that's kind of where it started coming a little bit together.
How come Tom Cruise didn't get killed in Prague? Or in Prague? Or
it's because he...
What did I say? Prague?
I'm going over to Prague.
How come he didn't get killed there, though?
I think that they were not trying to kill him, that John Voight was trying to set him up. They were going to kill everybody but Tom Cruise so that Tom Cruise looked like the guy who turned everybody in.
So they let him go on purpose?
Yes.
Now, how come nobody's told me that before?
Wow.
That was my take on it. And of course, at the end of the movie, they set it up perfectly for Tom Cruise to take the John Voight role.
Yeah, so he'll be now the guy who gets the tape that says, you know, you have, if you choose this mission and it's able to...
You care for a movie.
Tom Cruise or Billy Zane, I can't decide.
They're both double dreaming.
Double dreaming.
Hey, Charlie, have a great weekend, my friend.
All righty, guys,
too. We'll see you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Charlie Stossel. He's our movie man from AMC. Got a break, and we'll be right back.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
In time now on JFK with cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play.
Low budget Jeopardy. All that time. Low budget Jeopardy. First order of business always over the noise. Weeds of Mike's High Guy. Present me now. Today's big game. Oh, hey, Monty.
Mr. Burns.
Hello, boys.
It's Montgomery Burns, everybody.
It's Montgomery Burns.
Our favorite squash-colored performer on The Simpsons.
Yeah. Hello, how are each of you? Let me see if I can first start by getting into this chair.
You're very frail. Be careful. Do you need Smithers?
No, Smithers is not necessary. I'm just going to hoist myself up into the chair.
Are you aware of the fact that Smithers is in love with you?
No, that's a lie. It's totally a lie. And if you bring that up one more time, well, I'll beat you to within an inch of your life.
Smithers loves you.
No, he doesn't.
Smithers loves you.
No, it's all false. Well, can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
I'm manipulating Smithers.
You are?
Yes.
He'd like you to manipulate him.
I'm manipulating him so that he can do my bidding. That's why he's my favorite lapdog.
Are you okay, Montgomery?
Well, I'm feeling ill. I've been feeling ill for the last 30 years.
I'll bet. How old are you, Monty?
I'm 112.
And this role that you play on The Simpsons, unlike the other actors,
yes.
Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa,
who?
Maggie, you know the other people, you know?
I know Lisa, Bart.
Right.
I know Maggie.
Uh-huh.
And what was that other, the name?
Marge?
No, I know Marge.
Homer.
Marge.
Homer, he works for you. He works at the plant. This guy, hold on, see if you recognize this voice.
Mm.
He's the guy.
I'm an idiot.
In every episode.
I see.
You forget who he is, and somehow he works his way into the plot in every single episode.
Well, it sounds vaguely familiar to me. Simpson, you say?
Yeah.
Homer Simpson?
Homer J. Simpson.
Oh, well.
Now, here's another
I'll have to make a point of jotting his name down and seeing him sometime.
Maybe you've heard this.
Duh.
That voice sounds like one of my employees. Awesome.
Yes, it is. All right, now, here's another tape of his voice.
Stand up for yourself, Poindexter.
I know that voice.
He likes donuts.
I'm not sure I can put the name with the voice, though.
He weighs 239 pounds. He's bald.
239 pounds and bald.
The monitor you use to spy on the employees. He's the one eating donuts in the control room.
Just a second. Let me put my hands to my temples and try to remember.
Careful, you'll hurt yourself.
Oh,
he gives you some headache.
I've given a dent to my head.
Stupid president.
The skin and skull are so frail and brittle I can hurt myself by putting undue pressure on my temple area.
When's the last time you had a bone actually break through your skin, Monty?
I haven't had a bone break through my skin since yesterday morning.
Hey,
wow. Yes,
congratulations.
That's right. I was breaking an egg. I have those little dishes where you put the hard-boiled egg.
Right? Yeah.
I was cracking it vigorously, mind you. And as I cracked it, my pinky bone broke in two, causing the bone to jut right through my pinky. It was very painful, but I've had it set. And fortunately, it's going to recover admirably.
Do you miss the days when you could... I know that you and George Burns used to work out together all
what
the time.
What I miss most is my Bobo.
Now, what was that? It's your teddy bear?
My little teddy bear.
Oh, I remember that episode.
Priceless possession to me. I'd claw and I'd scrape and I'd fight anyone for my boo-boo.
So listen, of all the people on the show, all the Homer and all the rest, they're all just actors, they're actresses playing the role.
You, though...
I'm real.
You are really Montgomery Burns, right? You're an evil man who runs a big factory?
Not a factory, man. It's a nuclear power plant.
Nuclear power plant.
I provide energy. Excellent. I provide energy for the entire town of Springfield.
Where is Springfield? What state?
Springfield is in the state of humanity. Don't ask me all these foolish questions that I can't answer. I'm Monty Burns, and I'm real. And the town bows to me. And if you get in my way, well, just remember one thing.
What's that, Monty?
I'm a very powerful man. Powerful in mind and powerful in body.
Now.
As you can see. Look at this. I'm going to attempt to lift this bottle cap with my right arm.
I don't think that's
a good
idea.
You're going to strain yourself.
I can do it right now.
You mean that Evian bottle cap? That plastic bottle cap?
Yes, the one that's the size of a quarter made out of 100% plastic.
Are you sure?
Here goes.
You
want to
brace yourself?
Okay, bully for Monty.
Come on, do it, Monty.
Heavier than you used to look.
Come on. Come on, go for the burn.
Oh, I've pulled a muscle in my bicep. It's only an inch in diameter. I'm in excruciating pain. Please help me. Please help me, man. I'll give you whatever you need.
Here's another way. Here's another exercise for you. See,
no, that's